You see in front of you here, this is a pictorial of a scapegoat. This is one of the two goats that were used on Yom Kippur. One was slain in Jerusalem. The other one, known as the Azazel, was let loose into the wilderness. And he had a red cord kept around him, so be identified as the Azazel. And I'm going to be speaking of Yeshua, our scapegoat. I won't say this morning. So yes, we are a little bit longer because of the holiday service, but that's okay. It doesn't bother me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You know, from the very beginning of time, mankind has looked for a scapegoat. That is, somebody to blame for what we've done wrong. You know, Adam and Eve, they looked for a scapegoat in Genesis chapter 3. The man blamed the woman. Remember that? And then the woman blamed the serpent. You know, if we look at our lives today, we blame our spouse, don't we? We blame our boss. We blame our workload that we have. We blame our weaknesses. Siblings look for a scapegoat. Blaming the other one or a neighborhood kid. Let me get a drink of water here. Start that again. Siblings look for a scapegoat. Blaming the other one or a neighbor kid. You and I have looked for scapegoats, haven't you? Have you looked for a scapegoat? Of course we have. We want God and others to believe that we are not the one to blame. That the fault is not ours. It's somebody else's. You know, now in modern times, it's a normal thing. You know, we blame our parents. You go to the psychiatrist and they say, oh, it's all your parents' fault. The way they didn't raise you. We blame our ethnicity. Well, if I was only a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant or something, I'd be just perfect. We make scapegoats of our work, of our spouse, of our physical limitations and our disabilities. Just put the blame on someone or something else, but don't assume it yourself. You know, scapegoats are never hard to find. President Dwight Eisenhower once said, "The search for a scapegoat is the easiest of all hunting expeditions." It's very easy to find. But really, what is a scapegoat? You know, a scapegoat is any object or an animal or a person on whom the bad luck or the diseases or the misfortunes and sins of an individual or group are symbolically placed. We place it, we give it to somebody else. We don't accept it, we don't assume it ourselves. Then that scapegoat is turned loose, driven off, or cast into the sea in the belief that it takes away with it all the evils that were placed upon it. But you know, the simple truth is that we don't want to be responsible for our sins. We don't want to be responsible for our guilt. We want to transfer it or give it to somebody else. As believers in the Messiah, we confess that Yeshua died in our place. That He died upon that tree as He took our sins upon Himself. His death was a planned substitutionary atonement. Yet for many of us, we still feel that those sins are not fully dealt with. We struggle and we wonder, has God really removed the guilt of our worst sins from our lives? And so the Lord provides in Leviticus chapter 16. That's the chapter that talks about the whole Day of Atonement. During, what was that? Leviticus 16? Okay. Don't ever interrupt me again, as long as you live. Okay. I'm watching you, okay? Oh. Wherever I was, I'm kidding. The Lord provides in Leviticus chapter 16, during Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, the ritual of what's known as the scapegoat. That is the goat who carries our sins away from us. And you can go back to that goat if you'd like. Just go back. Yeah. Open that or close that curtain. There we go. That goat who carries away the sin from us. I'm going to read a couple scriptures from Leviticus 16. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Leviticus chapter 16. I'm going to open in verse 6 through 10. And it says here, Leviticus 16, 6 through 10, then Aaron is to offer the bull for the sin offering, which is for himself, and to make atonement for himself and for his household. Then he is to take two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Aaron will cast lots. In other words, to choose which goat would be the scapegoat and which one would be for the Lord, there was a way of deciding. It was by lots. He would either reach into a box of some sort and pick the one that would be the scapegoat and the one would be for the Lord, or there's some other methodology that he would use. It's not for certain what it was. He would cast lots for the two goats, one for Adonai, one for the Lord, and the other lot, the scapegoat, or in Hebrew, the Azazel. Aaron is to present the goat on which the lot for the Lord fell and make it the sin offering. But the goat upon which the lot for the scapegoat fell is to be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it by sending it away as a scapegoat, as the Azazel, into the wilderness. So this little goat here would have that red ribbon or tied around it, and it would be sent into the wilderness, that it would remove the sins from us, take the sins far away from us, as far as the east is from the west, the north from south. Lay hands on the goat, and then the goat would take away the sins into the wilderness, away from us. Now jump ahead to verse 20, and it says, when he was finished atoning for the holy place, the tent of meeting, and the altar, then he is to present the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins. He should place them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of the man who is in readiness. The goat will carry all their iniquities by itself into a solitary land, and he is to leave the goat in the wilderness. On Yom Kippur, on the Day of Atonement, the most solemn day of the Jewish calendars, two goats were brought to the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, and both goats were to be unblemished. They were to be healthy, and they were to look as much alike as possible, even look like twins, the two goats, almost identical. And one of the goats, which was called Le'Adonai, or the one to the Lord, would be slain as a substitute for the people. In other words, that goat would make atonement before the Lord. However, this other goat right here that was marked with a red band around its horn was to symbolically carry away the sins of the people away from the camp of Israel and away from the people. And that goat was to be the scapegoat. And again, the Hebrew word is Azazel. And that Hebrew word here that's in Leviticus 16, that's known as Azazel, you know, the exact meaning of it is not totally certain. Some think that Azazel, or the scapegoat, is the name of a demon, because in the apocryphal book of Enoch, it speaks of that and gives it a demonic name. And therefore, the goat is taking the sins back to the place of origin, or back to the evil one. Others think that the Azazel is the name of a place in the wilderness that the goat is being sent 2. Some think that that word Azazel means dismissal or removal in regard to sin. The sin is being dismissed and removed from the camp. Lastly, if we hold to the spelling in the Hebrew, using the Masoretic text, that Azazel is really a combination of two root words, meaning goat and disappear. Azah, goat, and zel, to disappear. Thus the meaning goat that disappears, or the goat that is sent away. Thus the meaning of the goat that is sent away in our behalf. However, the best explanation is that the Azazel described the complete removal of the community's guilt from the nation of Israel. However you translate that word Azazel, the purpose of this very dramatic portion of the Yom Kippur, or Day of Atonement ritual, was to take place before the eyes of the children of Israel as an unmistakable token that their sins had been removed from within their midst. It was a symbol of the fact that both the people and the land had been purged from their guilt and their sins had been removed. Since a confession of communal sin would have been made on top of the goat's head by the Kohen Gadol, by the high priest, before it was driven out into the wilderness. The main point is that sin was taken away by another agent other than the sinner. It was given to someone else to take away, or someone else to assume the guilt or the blame. This principle finds its fullest expression in the person and in the work of Yeshua, the Messiah, the divine Lamb who takes away our sin by His death. We know that because in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 29, it says, "The next day Yochanan," or the next day John, "saw Yeshua coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" What a perfect example of the Azazel, God's perfect lamb or goat, and the sins of the world were laid upon him. And then he was taken away, and all the sin with him, that we might be right, righteous before God. So just for a moment, just envision, or see with your eyes, Yeshua the Messiah. Here he is, he's hung on that tree, becoming that Azazel, that scapegoat for you and me. Picture yourself confessing all your sins as you lay your two hands upon the head of Yeshua, and all of your wickedness and your rebellion is transferred over. It's given to Yeshua. Then Yeshua is led away just like that Azazel was led away, taking your sins with him and the guilt and shame of your sins, and there's no more burden upon you. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us turned to his own way. So Adonai, the Lord, has laid on him the iniquity of us all." The Lord has laid on Yeshua the iniquity of us all. Just like the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, laid his hand upon that scapegoat. The Lord, it says here in Isaiah 53, has laid on him, Yeshua, the iniquity of us all. Thank you, Lord. Yeshua took away our sins from us by taking them upon himself and then removing them from us. 1 Peter, in the New Covenant of the Scripture, in chapter 2, verse 24, says, "He himself," this is Yeshua, "bore our sins in his body upon the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness." And it goes on to say, "By his wounds you have been healed," quoting Isaiah 53. We also read in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. But when Messiah appeared as the Kohen Gadol, as that high priest of the good things that have now come, passing through the greater and the more perfect tabernacle, not made by the hands of man, that is to say, not to be made by this creation, he entered into the holies once for all, not by the blood of goats, and not by the blood of lambs, and not by the blood of calves, and not by the blood of bulls, but his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption for you and I. As we look to Yeshua as our great Kohen Gadol, our high priest of the new covenant, we understand that the blood of the sin offering to the Lord, the one to the Lord, Adonai, the one that was sacrificed, represents the blood of atonement that was shed upon the tree for our purification from sin. That offering that was made to the Azazel also represents the additional aspect of removing the sins far outside the camp. And just as the two goats of the Yom Kippur ritual constituted a single offering made to God, so the sacrifice of Yeshua represents two aspects of that single offering before God. The blood of the first goat was given to the Lord for atonement, but the exile of the second goat was given to banish sins from the divine presence of God. Likewise, Yeshua served as both our atoning sacrifice before the Father and as our scapegoat who carries away our sin. The sent away goat represents the separation from God that Yeshua experienced on our behalf as he bore the wrath of God in our place. Because of Messiah's sacrifice, our sins are now put away as far as the east is from the west and forever buried in the bottom of the sea, never to be remembered again. Yeshua is both our sin offering whose blood cleanses us from our sin as well as our scapegoat who forever banishes our sins from God's holy presence. Charlie Campbell, in his book Scapegoat, writes that there were two very different types of people who were often picked as scapegoats. One was the modern equivalent of a homeless man who was looked down upon and easily blamed for everything. But the other was just the opposite. It was the king who was held responsible for what happened to the people. The homeless man is powerless, while the king is all-powerful. Yet both can be blamed as scapegoats. How amazing that Yeshua was both in our behalf. As God the Son, he was an all-powerful king. As the pauper, one looked upon, one who had taken on humanity, he emptied himself and surrendered his power. He became the scapegoat for us in both his power and in his weakness. Can we truly understand the gift of eternal life that Yeshua gave us through his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension to his Father? As Yeshua was dying upon that tree, he said, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why have you abandoned me? Yeshua, as that Azazel, as that scapegoat, was cast away, separated from his Abba, so our sins would be removed forever. This is what we commemorate on Yom Kippur. Not a time of sadness, but a time of rejoicing. For one day, thanks to Yeshua our Azazel, we will stand before our Abba and hear these words, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Yeshua, we just thank you that Yeshua is our scapegoat, that he took upon himself.